International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The big one, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Hello there, cafeers. Denny J here in the Digicom Cafe for another episode of Radio on the Rocks. For Monday, February 24th, 2020. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is 55 degrees. We've had a mix of sun and rain, thunderstorms with hail, and fairly strong winds right now, gusting up to almost 30 miles an hour. But the sun is out now, the rain seems to be gone, and I think cold weather is coming in behind it. I can feel the chill in the air. In today's episode, I'm featuring an interview with Wade, N8YMX, and Katie, KE8LQR, from Negley, Ohio. Back in January 18th to be exact, I had gotten on 40 meters to join some contest activity and work someone from my home state of Minnesota, where it was cold and snowy. And in the middle of that SSB activity, I was drawn away from it by a call from a fellow yacht member, Wade, N8YMX from Negley, Ohio, who was working with about 25 Girl Scouts, including young ham and yacht member Katie, KE8LQR. I got involved in helping them with a presentation about ham radio with the girls who were involved with the STEM presentation, where they were learning about electrical theory and circuits and even building a series circuit that lit an LED bulb. At the time, I contacted Wade, tried to get together with him for an interview, but he got busy and I got busy and we kind of let it drop. Thankfully, Wade contacted me and said he was ready for an interview, so we gave him a call last night. In the midst of that, also brought in Katie, whom he was instrumental in getting into amateur radio. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So don't go away. I'll be right back. Here in the Digicom Cafe Communications Network, we are all about the power of voice. Did you know that you could listen to my Cafe Cast by simply asking Alexa to play Radio on the Rocks, and that you could maneuver your way around my Cafe Cast library by simply saying Next or Previous? I created this Amazon skill using a free and easy platform called VoiceFlow, where you just build your skill block by block, no coding necessary. If you'd like to build your amateur radio skill, go to voiceflow.com. That's voiceflow.com.
Hello.
Hey, good evening, Wade. Denny here.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. N8YMX. This is K5DCC.
Yes.
I suppose we better make it official. Anyway, thank you very much for being available. I know you're a very busy guy. It was several weeks back that I had listened in on a STEM thing that you guys were doing and introducing a lot of young people to amateur radio, and we finally got around to getting together. That's awesome.
Yes.
So anyway, I was looking at your QRZ page here, and I see that we have many things in common, including barbershop quartet singing. That's very interesting.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Quartet in my college years, and then I got busy, and back then it was SESQUA, the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Right. My dad used to take my brother and I to those things when we were young all the time.
Right. Yeah. And then that chapter disbanded, and then I haven't been able to find a close chapter. I think the closest one's in Pittsburgh, which is little over an hour away. So I haven't been able to engage in that activity recently. Plus with kids, and I have a daughter, she is 14 and is an eighth grader, and then my other kiddo is she's in fourth grade, she's 10. So those kids keep me hopping.
I'll bet. Are they hams too?
Three jobs. the oldest one's not interested at all. The youngest one participated in the school roundup this spring one, and I actually did a STEM class for, it was a science. The fourth graders at the school was doing basic electric and electromagnetism. And the teacher asked me to come in and do a class for the fourth grade class. So about a week or two ago, it was the week of the school roundup. I had about 75 fourth graders that we went over circuits, and I drew masking tape, a basic circuit on the ground with the battery and a couple of resistors and LEDs, and I made it schematically accurate so they could, you know, tell what the components are, and I explained what a schematic was. And then I had the kids go from the battery around the circuit, and they had to follow the tape, and then explained each component and how that kind of reacted, how those interact with the electrons. And for example, when they crossed the resistor, they had to slow down and walk heel to toe and count to three, and then they could go. and then we explained to them about greenies don't like to I call them greenies, but electrons, I give them human characteristics.
Sure.
So it's a little less abstract for the fourth graders. And how that's frustrating, you know, and when you get frustrated, sometimes you get angry, and what the electrons do is they give off heat when they get resisted and frustrated, and they can't get to where they're going.
Very interesting.
And then for voltage, I use my phone, and I play a song, and the lower the song is, the less they want to get there, and they kind of mope around the circuit, and the louder the song is, the more they want to get there, and they really try to get to the circuit, and that correlates voltage with them. And then I explained to them, okay, now we have three in the circuit going. Let's double the amperage, because amperage is how many electrons there are. It's the amount. And it really works well. They really get it. And actually, I had about 50 minutes with them. And I brought in breadboards and built on their own an LED circuit with a resistor and a 9-volt battery and an LED circuit, and that was fourth grade. And at the very end, I got an Echolink again, and got a station out of California that was on a repeater, and also a station for the next class in Australia. And it was real cute, because the kids are asking them about kangaroos and. it was a fun time.
Cool.
But yeah, they got exposed to ham radio. But the point of the whole story was my fourth grader was in that class, and that then sparked her interest. And then especially with it being school roundup, I was staying till 6 o'clock every night, because we operated from 1 to 6.
Right.
And so she was just there anyway, and she got on HF and called CQ, and by the end of the week, I have her on hamstudy.org now, and she's pecking away and getting more proficient.
Cool.
We have a BE session sitting for the kids at K8LPS at our school club. So she her goal is to be able to sit for the BE test and sit for the technician by end of March.
Cool. Well, I see you do all this activity through the K8LPS Columbiana Clippers Amateur Radio and Electronics Club, for which you serve as a trustee.
Yeah, so how that started was, I've been a ham for many years, and I really, really enjoy the hobby. I got assigned as a school resource officer last year. And
now you do this because you're involved in the in police work. You're a sergeant for the Columbia
Police
Department.
Yeah, I've been a police officer. I'm a police officer. I'm a police sergeant for 22 years now. I think I got hired in 1998. 21 years, 22 years, something like that. And I got assigned to the schools as an SRO. And I popped in the science class one morning, and they were going over the electromagnetic spectrum. And I was offered to, you know, contribute to that lesson. And I set up a lab for the 7th and 8th graders using some of the forensic tools that we use in law enforcement. I'm also a coroner investigator for our coroner's office, a forensic death investigator. So we have some tools, and we utilize alternative light sources and UV and things like that during forensics. And I also got a night vision camera and a thermal imaging camera. And I set up in the school, we have a back utility ramp that's really dark, and no one's back there except to go up the stairs, you know, to take things to and from the second floor that the custodians use it. But I turned out all the lights, and I wrote messages, and the kids had to use they did a lab where they used alternative light sources and explained wavelengths with the goggles and filters, and we went over the electromagnetic spectrum that way. And also, you know, with the heat, the flare and the night vision and things like that. So the kids absolutely just loved the lab, and I saw that as an opportunity to say, if you really want to learn more about the electromagnetic spectrum, you guys use Wi-Fi every day. I mean, who's been on the internet today? And they all raised their hands, and I said, if you really want to learn more about this technology and this and Wi-Fi and the electromagnetic spectrum that we use every day, I'm going to start teaching this on a after school, immediately after school, so you can just stay after school. And I had about, first year I had about 30 kids sign up and loved it, and the fruit of that was and then I started getting into more amateur radio related. It's kind of the first half is all electronics. So they learn Ohm's law and circuits and components. And we get in pretty deeply to the physics of it. You know, Eli the Iceman and inductive circuits and capacitive circuits and how they interact. And then the last half of the year is more geared towards the amateur radio aspect of getting their ticket.
Right.
So I had about 30 sign up the first year, and then one fifth grader got her technician license, and that is Katie, K-E-8-L-Q-R, and she has since gone to be an extra. And
she's a yacht member?
And then, yes, she is. Mm-hmm. And she's in our club. She's actually the club president. And then this year, I had about 60 kids sign up. And people get busy, or they show up and they thought, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be or whatever. And then that number usually drops by half by mid-year, where I have a core group of about 25 to 30 committed kids that are showing up consistently to learn about amateur radio. In September, at the beginning of the school year, we kind of made it official. We over the summer we did a fox hunt with the kids, and we also participated in field day. And at our fox hunt, and I think July or August, we took minutes and elected officers and formed the club. And then when we got back to school in September, I applied for a club call. So we've had a club call since September of 2019.
Cool. Now, I don't suppose getting a license at 15, like yourself, has anything to do with your passion for kids, does it?
Well, I love teaching, and I really like to stay busy and engaged. And that was another reason I started this club. I was looking, this is the first, I'm kind of the pilot program in the district for an SRO, because we've never had an SRO prior to last year. So I'm there for full-time SRO in the first one. And I was also looking for a way to connect with the kids and get to know them and be more active within the school. And that was another reason. But yeah, I do have a passion for teaching kids and amateur radio and passing on the hobby and a vision for the kids to get their license and continue on in the hobby.
Well, you definitely sound like an individual who enjoys ham radio with a purpose. I'm kind of curious to hear your story. How did you first get into ham radio?
I'm the first generation ham in my family. My father used to tell a story about my grandfather having a ham radio receiver. He didn't have a license or didn't transmit or anything like that, but he would often sit in the living room, and he had just a random wired dipole strung up in the backyard, and he would listen to the ham bands. Never knew my grandfather. He died when I was very young, months old. I grew up in a very rural area, and my buddies and I found an old CD in my dad's closet, and I got it out, and I was fascinated by it. And finally, after a year or two, I talked him into buying me an Antron 99 with a ground plane on it. and then I talked my buddies into, hey, let's play around with this. And we would just talk on the CD at night, and I kind of got bored with that, and I got frustrated. It wasn't very professional, and it really wasn't what I was looking for. And I was just seeking more knowledge. So, I was probably 12 or 13 when my dad took me to another local ham shack, and he explained what it was. And I looked at his station, and that's where my fascination grew. And then when I was about 15, I kind of drove my parents nuts because back in the 90s, early 90s, I think clubs were a lot more active, or at least they seemed to be a lot more active. And I remember there was SARA, which is Salem Area Amateur Radio Club, which is the north end of the county. And then there was the Triangle Amateur Radio Club, which is the south end of the county. They were complete opposites, in about a 40-minute drive from one end of the county to the other. And I would, I think one was like Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the other one was Mondays and Wednesdays. So there for a couple months, I was getting ham radio technician classes four nights a week, because I said, hey, I want to do KDLTs, and I want to do SARAs. So they would drive me for a couple months back and forth every night to each respective club's classes. And then I got my ticket, and when I was 15, and that was it. And I stayed a technician for a while, and then I got a full-time job, and I was pursuing my career. I went to the police academy, and I just got busy, and I didn't pursue general until after I was full-time at the police department, and midnight shifts and things I could study and commit to that. And then I passed my general. And then I didn't get my extra, actually, until recently, last year, when I started K8LPS. And I was learning and teaching all of this electronic theory, and I really dove into it. And I thought, while I'm doing this, there's no time better to get my extra than now. So while the kids were pursuing their technician, I was also pursuing my extra. And actually, I sat for the same VE test last spring in March with the kids. So they were taking their technician, and I was taking my extra, and I passed it.
Congratulations. I just got mine last year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
It's no small feat.
No, it isn't. It was I hit a wall. It was. It took me about 6 weeks of studying every night consistently. And I mean, like, I would sit there for 2 hours and study. And about 6 weeks in, I hit a wall, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this. The questions pool is just so large, and it seems to me it was a lot different. It's a lot digital geared now, and MOSFET and gates, I'm never going to pass this thing. And then after about the 6th week, I started passing them consistently on hamstudy.org.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I used HamTest Online.
Yep.
I had, according to the records of my study, I had 76 hours of study time in. So some people can do it in about 30, but my memory's not that sharp. I'm getting old, you know, so.
Yeah.
You're still young. I imagine you're probably in your late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, I'm 40. What am I? 43.
Okay.
I'll be 44 here in May.
You're the same age as my son, youngest son.
Okay.
At 43, I'm pretty sure that's what he's at. See, I can't even remember that anymore. Well, with all the stuff you're doing, I see you're also into scuba diving, and you do a lot of teaching for the police academy, too, at Kent State University. I don't know how you find time for anything.
Yeah, that's true. I stay pretty busy. I'm a certified rescue diver, and I've done some recovery and evidence recovery and photography and things like that for our local agencies. I'm dry suit certified, so I can go in the ice and in any weather. I give a scuba demonstration to our local explorer post that our police department sponsors every August. So I do a little Discover Scuba and show them the gear and show them what it's about. And then I teach at Kent. I've backed off a little bit because of just the busyness of the seasonal life I'm in with the kids in the afternoon. I work during the day, and then the classes are 5 to 10, and it's an hour drive to Kent as well. So, you know, I leave at 4, right after work, get off at 3:15, 3:30, leave at 4, teach from 5 to 10, and then get home about 11, a little after.
Wow.
And then it's time to start the day. We go to bed and start the day again. So.
Wow.
But I teach several subjects, maybe 30 subjects in the police academy.
Wow. Well, I see you also served in the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force. It says you were a flight medic, served a tour during the Operation Iraqi Freedom. Makes me wonder, what is it that drives you? I mean, you seem so goal-oriented or purposeful in your life. What drives you?
That's a good question. I don't know.
There must be something at your core that motivates you.
I don't know. I've just always been like that. I was an Eagle Scout, that was a goal of mine to get Eagle. So I got Eagle when I was very young, too. I was probably about 15. It was before I got my driver's license that I got Eagle Scout. And if I put my mind to something, I usually just find a way and accomplish it and do it.
Wow. You're doing a tremendous amount of stuff. Reaching out to young people and giving them something to live for and something to shoot for. So not only do we appreciate your service there, but I also want to appreciate you for your service to our country. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure.
I wish we could call Katie. Now, we were talking about maybe doing a dual thing between you and Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have her number?
Yeah, I think she's up for that.
Could you bring her in on another call, just bring her into this, or...
Okay, hold on just a second. Let me see if she's available and if I can figure this out. Okay, I'm waiting on Katie to get here. I think she's going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am here.
Hi, Katie. Denny here, K5DCC.
Kilo 5, Delta Charlie Charlie. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima, Quebec Radio.
Very good, Katie. Well, so glad that... Wade was able to raise you here. We were just interviewing Wade and getting his story, and I thought we talked about getting the three of us together, so I had him give you a call. So I understand you are the president of the K8LPS Columbiana Clippers Amateur Radio Club.
I am. I think we decided on that at one of our fox hunt that we did last summer.
Does that stand for anything significant, LPS, or is that just what you guys got stuck with?
Yeah, we had an original assigned technician call, and the K8LPS is a vanity call, and they don't issue WSC calls anymore. We would like to add WCLPS because our mascot is the Columbiana Clippers. So the closest thing we could come to that wasn't taken that we would likely get was K8LPS. So it's the Clips.
Oh, and
sometimes
okay.
They, you know, they shorten it with, you know, the Clips, Columbiana Clips.
Yep.
And K8LPS spells out Clips.
Okay, I get it. Very cool. And you guys are operating during the school roundup too, I understand. Go ahead, Katie.
Yes.
How many
were operating?
How many contacts did you guys make?
I think we made around 172 the first time. I'm not sure how many we made the second time.
And how does that work? You get so many points for schools or so many points for individuals? How does that work?
We get more points for schools and clubs than we do individuals, but we get points for every contact we make.
How many schools did you work?
I want to say we worked 17 schools.
Okay.
And about 8 clubs or 10 clubs. I have the stats. And then we also made 11 DX contacts, including Africa, countries such as Namibia, Canary Islands, and Europe, and Canadian provinces, and South America.
Cool. Well, Katie was...
We ended up with about 20,022 points.
You think you got a good chance of winning?
I don't know. We had about 21,500 last in the fall, and we came in eighth. I think we worked 25 or 27 states, maybe 28. And we had about 35 states last time. I think that was a difference in the 1,500 points, give or take. So it really just depends on how many schools participated in the spring roundup, and I'm not sure. I don't think we'll come in last, but we might not come in first. I have no idea.
So very good. Now you guys are located somewhere in Ohio, right?
Yeah, we're about 20 minutes, half an hour south of Youngstown.
Okay.
Ohio, and we're about maybe an hour and a half west of Cleveland. Our county borders Pennsylvania. We're on the eastern extreme of Ohio.
Okay. So, Katie, congratulations on getting your extra.
Thank you very much.
Has Wade been influential in your life, your experience in ham radio?
He has been. He was the one who encouraged me to get my technician, and then from there, he also helped me with my general and extra.
Very good. Now, I know that you were helping him with that STEM project. You're both involved in STEM now, aren't you?
We are. He also helped me set up my first HF station.
And what is that? What have you got?
I have an ICOM 7300.
Oh, I'm jealous. Wish I had one. That's great. What is the club station comprised of?
We don't have a radio yet. We're looking to get one very soon. They've been applying to grants so we can get an HF station set up for the school. But we borrowed an ICOM 706 both times for the school club roundup.
Very cool.
Our local EMA, who we have a very good relationship with, communications officer down there, let us borrow the go kit. So we had everything was portal for the school roundup, and he dropped it off that Saturday or Sunday before, and the roundup, and then we set it up and put up a dipole in the front yard of the school, and then the station was up for that week, and then at the end of the week we tore everything down. But we're looking for funding right now, or donations or anything, to set up a permanent station. So we don't have to borrow equipment and mess around with that.
Yeah. Well, I got my license when I was 16 as a result of my electronics instructor at the high school. And we were presented with the challenge. If we wanted to get extra credit, study for a ham radio license. And then they had a club station there. So 6 of us studied and got our novice tickets and quickly upgraded to general. And we had a really wonderful club station, a nice line of Drake gear with a TA-33 on the roof. And, I had so many great memories with my friends there in the school shack and working the world. It was back in the day when sunspot cycles were high and we had easy DX just anytime you got on there. It was amazing. So how old are you, Katie?
I'm 11 years old.
11 years old. My goodness. What do your friends think about you being a ham?
Some of them don't really care about it. Others, they seem like they would like to get their tickets, but just don't want to study for it.
So what is it that drew you into ham radio?
I enjoy working DX most of all. I like working for the club in contests and stuff like that. But I also enjoyed the fox hunt that we had.
Well, those are fun. We're getting ready for a countywide fox hunt here in our county. How big was yours? How big an area did it cover?
Ours was just over one of our local parks, so it wasn't a very big area, but it was fun.
It was actually more difficult because you have to understand we're dealing with mostly middle schoolers. So they don't have a car.
Right. Sure.
And so logistically, I had to plan something that was going to be on foot. Their parents could drop off at a time and then pick up at a time.
Sure.
And plus, I didn't want any pedestrian traffic, them crossing roadways or anything. So we decided on our local park, which is probably maybe 150 acres. It was a little challenging because it's not a lot of room to work a fox hunt.
Right, well, especially considering you have to use different techniques to find something when you get up close. What tools did you use, Katie, to find the fox?
We all had our HTs, and then we used delta loop antennas. The technique that I think the one we used most was body shielding.
Did that work pretty good?
That did work very well.
So you just kind of pull it up to your chest and then start turning in a circle, and where the signal disappears, you know it's behind you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Did you use any attenuators on your radio?
When we got closer, we took the antenna off, so the signal would be less strong when we were pointed the other direction.
Okay. How much power was the fox transmitting at?
I think he was maybe a half a watt. Once they got close, we actually took a roll of aluminum foil.
Oh, okay.
Probably wasn't the best thing for his radio, but once they got so close, of aluminum foil, and he stuck it on his antenna, and he kind of shielded it as well, and it worked okay. I think it would have been a lot better if we had some more room to work with, but they certainly got the gist of direction finding.
Okay, so the transmitter guy had foil on his antenna. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I know on the receiving side they say that sometimes the signal comes into the radio even without an antenna, so you might need to wrap aluminum foil around the radio itself. Well, Katie, did you win the fox hunt?
Yes. There were only two teams because there were a very few number of us, but me and the other person on my team, we did find the fox.
Okay. Now, a lot of kids nowadays are even getting interested in Morse code. Are you one of those?
Yes, I have been working on Morse code.
You have? Okay. Certainly proud of you, and also proud to be a part of the yacht team with you guys. You're doing a fantastic job, and sounds like you and Wade are quite a team over there building interest in amateur radio at your school, so we sure are proud of y'all. Thank you so much, Wade, for all you're doing to reach young people, and especially with your busy schedule the way it is, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, my pleasure. That's my goal, is to pass it on to the next generation.
Yep. Well, all of us should be ambassadors for the hobby. In fact, I'm doing a presentation at the Bella Vista Amateur Radio Club next month, coming up in a couple of weeks, actually. And the whole theme is going to be enjoying amateur radio with purpose as ambassadors for the hobby. There's a lot of things we can do to represent ham radio in our communities. And we can do that at any age. Even Katie, at your age, you can be an ambassador. And I know you already are.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Both of you, thank you for your time, and we'll be listening for you on the YachtNet Tuesday night. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you today, and we will be sharing this in tomorrow's episode. So I'll let you know, or if you guys are members in my mighty network, you'll be able to see it every time I post it if you want to join us. It's a Facebook alternative without all the ads and without all the spying on you. So it's just...
I don't even have Facebook, so I...
Well,
you, sure. Denny, let me ask you: Would it be possible to maybe send me a link to that in my email?
I will. I'll send you a link to the podcast and also to the to the Mighty Network. You can join it with just a simple email address and a password. It's got a lot of different groups and topics. And if you're interested, we could create a group for you or a club or anything. If you feel like it would be helpful for the kids in your school club to be involved in something that's non-Facebook, but Facebook-like in terms of being able to post comments, pictures, links, videos, all kinds of stuff, articles, and do it in your own group so you can have your own group chat and events and all kinds of stuff. It's free for all of my members. So that's at digicomcafe.com.
All right, well, check that out. And thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
How are you doing to promote the hobby? All right, thanks.
73, thanks. Katie.
Yep.
73.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very fun interview. And in line with that, I would now like to invite you to visit our blogcast page for this episode and watch the embedded video of the Eris contact that I witnessed today with astronaut Dr. Drew Morgan, who was taking questions from students at the Kitteridge Magnet School for High Achievers. You will find the link to this blogcast in the show notes on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. Or if you followed the link that I posted on Facebook and Twitter, that'll take you right to the blogcast for today's Reality Radio Cafe Cast. Does it confuse you having all these different names? I call it Radio on the Rocks. It's a cafe cast. It's Reality Radio. It's a blogcast. They're all talking about the same thing. It's what's happening in the Digicom Cafe. It's a ham radio buffet. Enjoy that video. Thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to my podcast on whatever platform you're listening on and come back tomorrow. I've got another interesting interview tomorrow with K6UDA, Bob, another great ham radio YouTuber. I think you'll enjoy that episode tomorrow also. 73. Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Network's amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.